just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Bit rushed tonight as I was driving home from New York City, stuck in a little bit of traffic, but hey, what else is new? Enough about me. It's time for a great show tonight. We're looking forward to this program. We've got, there's a song playing. We need one thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined by the one and only professional co-host there is on the planet. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Chef Dave Boredom. Dave, what's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Man, I had to run inside the house, like, say goodnight to the kids really quick, get the computer down here, get set up. I was in pretty good shape until I opened the computer, and I got the spinning wheel of Rainbow Death.
I only thought that was for, like, PlayStation and, you're talking about for loading speed?
No, the MacBook. You know, I opened it up, I went to open up the program, the studio program, and it just, like, was like, no, this will not happen right now. And I don't know why my computer has a voice like a Spartan, but it does.
Word.
It sounds like a Spartan. Yeah, man. So, how's your week? What's going on? Everything good with you?
Yeah, I have today off. I have tomorrow off. I'm just chilling.
Nice, man. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, I was making the drive home from the big city, and of course it was raining, and of course somebody had to cause an accident, and I was like, "Listen, you motherfuckers, I know this is a 5-car accident, but I want you to know that I have a 10 o'clock radio show that I have to do." And they had lots of ambulances out there, which is just taking up so many lanes of traffic. I'm like, honestly, do they even care about other people, Dave? Do they care?
Hopefully nobody got hurt, but yeah, they should have just got out of the way. I said, hopefully nobody's like seriously injured, but yeah, they should just got the fuck out of the way, right? Like,
that's what
you have
saying.
Things to do. So
honestly, yeah. God, that's what I'm saying. Like, listen, we need to have. I sound like a douchebag, don't I? I don't even mean that. I don't mean that at all. I hope no one got hurt either, but it did make for driving home a little bit rough. You know what makes it rough? The old platform we did this show on, I would get the live link earlier in the show. Like, I would have it. Now, I get the live link now, and then I have to, like, rush to put it out to everybody. It's a pain in the ass.
You should get a bunch of, like, old-timey radio commercials and play it for, like, the first 5 minutes.
Just
to kill time so people can, you know.
That's not a bad idea. That'd be great. Check out, you know what it should be? It should be a cigarette ad. It should be like, Lucky Strikes. For all the health in you, smoke a Lucky Strike. My 1940s commercial voice. Do you like it?
Yeah, that works. You can do like Lucky Strikes and Winston's and Brill Cream and all kinds of
Winston's,
old school stuff.
That's right. Dude, do you still smoke or not really?
No.
When you did smoke, what were you smoking?
Parliament full flavors.
Parliament full flavor. What was your first cigarette?
My first cigarette ever was a Newport.
Ew.
Right, I stuck with them for a while, and then I realized my headache due to menthol, so I switched.
Dude, I think my first cigarette ever was an Alpine Menthol 100, and I smoked it up into a tree with Kevin Bishop.
I don't even know. What an Alpine is.
Yeah.
I've never heard.
It sounds like
something that should just naturally come menthol, though. Like, it's an extreme menthol.
Dude, it's the Faygo of menthol cigarettes. That's what it is.
What does that mean?
It's like the off-brand. Like, it's the bullshit brand. The Faygo of menthol cigarettes.
I mean, Faygo's pretty good.
Stop it. No one actually likes Faygo.
That's not true.
Really? Well, we'll have to ask our guest tonight, because... he's also got some Detroit roots himself, and it's going to be a lot of fun tonight, guys. By the way, welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. I'm your host, Chef Plum, but you probably know that because you're already listening. of course, joined tonight by the one and only Chef Dave Boredom. It should be a fun show, Dave. I learned something recently that I was kind of surprised by. There's other podcasts out there.
Nah, I don't think so.
No, listen, there's other good podcasts out there. That's the whole point, man. There's some good shows out there, and one of the ones I've been a fan of for a while is a show called In the Weeds. You ever heard of the show?
No, but I'm definitely interested in hearing about it.
It's hosted by this guy named Ben Randall. He's a funny guy. He's got a lot of experience. He's a good brother. And we've been friends on social media, and I've been checking the show out some. So I reached out to him and said, hey, man, I'd love to have you on tonight. And he was like, dude, I'd love to come on and talk. And so I called him because I was working all day. So I called him on the phone and just talked to him on the phone a little bit before the show. And, you know, it's always fun when you meet one of those good brothers out there who kind of, you know, it's we all kind of come from the same tree. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
And I think that this guy definitely comes from the same tree we do. So we're going to get Ben on here in a few minutes and talk to him about his show and what he does. Because I think it's a good opportunity to find other food podcasts and whatnot. Because there's a lot of them out there. Yep. Thanks, Dave. That was your cue. That was just a chime in right there.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's breaking up a little bit on my end.
Yeah, that's you. That's not me.
Uh-oh.
yeah, man, so it should be good times. A little update on our Navy event. It is happening. We've been having many, many conversations with said Navy, and we should have a lot more like an actual press release and stuff coming up very, very soon, which should be a lot of fun. And Dave, you've been privy to some of that, and there could be a pretty big surprise happening with that too, so everyone could check it out for us doing it. And I don't mean like just Instagram living it. It should be pretty fun, man. I'm excited about it, Dave, aren't you? Like, we're going to use food to help people in the holidays, which is great.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. You always say, like, this is the part where you're like, are you really excited about it? Because you can never really tell when I'm excited. Well, but I am. I'm stoked.
I mean, listen, the amount of energy, I sometimes want to tell you to relax a little bit. Like, I don't want you to, like, overtake my energy, so I just want you to calm down a little bit. But... I'm just kidding, man. I don't mean that at all. Hey, did you get the email I sent you? I forwarded you the information. Did you get it yet?
Yeah. All right, check it out.
Good time. So it should be a lot of fun talking to them tonight. And, of course, should be more fun coming up on our event with the Navy that we're really excited about. So hopefully more to talk to you guys about. I mean, I hate people who come on and say, I got a lot of fun things, more to tell you about later. But, like, I kind of want to talk about it, but there's not really much more to talk about yet. I mean, it's happening. On the 28th of December, we're going to be in New London and Groton at the sub base. I found out today that we actually get to go on a submarine. That's pretty cool. I did ask if I could drive. Dave was trying to correct me, telling me don't drive a submarine. I said you do. I don't know. What do you think? You still sticking to that?
Look, man, I'm just not stoked about you controlling or steering or anything with a submarine.
Really?
It's nuclear. So that alone... You know, you probably should be trained.
Really? You think that's a problem?
Yeah, not like a problem, but more like, it's scary. How about that?
I don't know if it's that scary. Listen, I can drive a manual transmission. I can drive automatic transmission. For a long time, I did drive a bulldozer once, so I feel confident I can do that. I mean, I think we'd be good.
All right, man.
Would you ride with me or no?
Yeah, man, whatever, let's do it.
Alright, well, that's all I'm saying. I just want to drive the submarine, that's all I think. I mean, you think they have a key?
I don't really, like, that means you have to go underwater, too?
Oh, dude, if we're doing it, we're going underwater. We're going to dive. All I want to do is press the button and yell, dive, 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 dive. Don't you? Come on.
Now I kind of want to do, like, you remember the episode of Batman? Like, when they had the World Ambassadors?
No, I don't think I remember this episode. What happened?
I think it was the movie, but they had them all, like, they took all the World Ambassadors and turned them into, like, colored powders, and then, like, pretty much...
Wait, time out. We just call them powders. We don't need to... It's 2018. We don't need to specify.
Word. Okay. So they like, dehydrate them and turn them into powders, and then they get in a submarine. And I think it's the Penguin submarine, and I remember them, like, kind of hitting the button and yelling, dive, dive, dive.
But the Penguin's the worst freaking dude ever.
He's just misunderstood. But
is that what it was?
He sucks.
Well, listen,
I'm not a fan of the Penguin.
This is what happens when I let you drive the bus here on the podcast when I'm trying to, like, send text message out and copy the link button. See, I let you talk and you start bringing up the freaking Penguin.
Oh, dude, this bus crashed, like, a little bit ago when you handed me the wheel.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take it back because that was a little rough. Well, listen, man, it should be a lot of fun tonight. I'm super excited. Our guest is with us right now. We've got the one and only chef, Ben Randall. He's the host of In the Weeds with Ben Randall. It's a podcast you can find on iTunes, on Stitcher, I think everywhere else you can find podcasts. We'll have to ask Chef about that. He's a 26-year veteran of the restaurant industry, much like myself. And there's waiting for Dave to insert the age joke right there.
Holy shit, you guys are old.
Fuck off. well, apparently Chef started cooking food when I was 3 years old. So it's you know, I'm not really that old altogether. But you can check him out on Twitter at In the Weeds WBR, and of course on Instagram, Chef Ben Randall. That's RANDALL. So check him out there, ladies and gentlemen. We're joined right now by the man, the myth, the legend. Is he a legend? Maybe he's a legend. Chef Ben Randall. Chef, good evening, brother. How are you?
Hey, evening, fellas. I'm good. How are you?
That's a fucking train wreck podcast there with Dave. It was kind of a mess. I apologize, even though I love Dave.
I'm with you on the Batman stuff, man.
What? See? You know what he's talking about?
More or less, yeah.
Oh, is it a Michigan thing? That's what it is.
Is it? No. You got long winters. You got to entertain yourself somehow, man.
Did you get my Faygo reference? Night. Did you get my Faygo reference though? I thought I was right on point with that.
Oh yeah. I mean, Faygo is basically like the Meyer off-brand anyway. So yeah.
See, so Dave, it is an off-brand.
Look, not it's not. Look, they don't make billboards for off-brands. Okay.
Maybe that's the truth. Maybe that's the truth. Chef, man, I know you and I have been buddies on social media for a while. Finally, happy to have you on here and have a chance to talk to you, dude. I've been checking out the podcast, man. You guys do a pretty good job. It's pretty funny, and I laugh my ass off. And I was listening tonight, and you guys were talking a lot about how much you hated a tuna sandwich unless you had a hankering for it. But what's funny is that you guys, it's literally, I mean, you don't stay on course with anything, which is why it's so fun. It's like ADD chef podcasting. It's fun to listen to.
Yeah, like I was telling you earlier, we have a plan for what we're going to talk about, and then we go right immediately off that plan.
Well, if you want Dave to join you, because somehow or another, I think he would fit in very well with you.
I mean, we did a whole episode about, we tried to figure out what superheroes would eat like on their night off. Ooh. As if they were all living like in one bedroom apartments in the same building.
Damn, that's pretty good. That's pretty freaking good. Like it's like a superhero dorm.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's ridiculous. Dude, so listen, you are a 26-year veteran in the business, man. A little history on you, man. Are you a culinary? Like, do you go to culinary school? Are you self-taught? Have you just worked in restaurants your whole life? What's your story?
You know, I was in restaurants for about 8 years, and then I worked for a guy when I was in Kalamazoo, Michigan, who he told me that I had to go to his culinary school.
Oh.
And so I went to the New England Culinary Institute up in Montpelier, Vermont.
Great school. And NECI is a fantastic school, man. I have a lot of respect for that school.
You know, like, I would go back and do the whole program again right now, just because it was, I feel like I didn't get all of it, because it's so much information all at once, you know?
How old were you when you went to school?
21, I think.
See, that's what I'm saying, the same thing, man. Like, I was a little bit older than that when I went to culinary school, but, like, you know, at that time, you're just trying to get through it. And now, like, with all the experience, like, yeah, I kind of want to go back and learn that shit again, you know?
Yeah, and it was just, like, it was the right time in my life to do that, because I was real cocky, and the way that I tell people is, like, I really knew how to make mushroom risotto, but I didn't really know how to make risotto, you know?
Right.
And so I left, it's all theory, so I left, you know, knowing the basis of everything as opposed to just individual recipes, and it was great.
Damn, that's awesome. I mean, it's so such a similar story, man. I mean, because a lot of people shit on culinary school, and I think culinary school is great. I think there's, you know, I don't think there's one right or wrong path for anyone in this industry. But, you know, in my story, I definitely needed culinary school when I went. I was a mess. I needed the discipline. I needed the, you know, I needed that, the regiment. Like, I needed all that shit. And I think New England, NECI, where you went, kind of has that as well.
Oh, yeah. I got kicked out of class one day because I didn't shave. And I had some stubble, and they sent me home.
Oh, man.
It was rough.
So Dave comes from Dave, who's with us tonight here. He comes from the, you know, non-training, non, you know, CIA or culinary school or Johnson & Wales training. He's a kind of a self-taught guy. Worked in restaurants, but he's also a monster. He's a beast in the kitchen. He's done events with me, you know. So I don't think there's a right or wrong way to do any of it. But I think that the school definitely gives you that basis, you know, for, listen, I never would have known what a fond was or what the proper measurements for a brunoise were if I didn't go to culinary school, because I didn't fucking care, for sure. You know?
Right. And I mean, I've worked for folks who were self-taught who were tremendous, and I've worked for people who went to culinary school and they were pieces of shit. So it all depends on what you get out of school.
How come no one ever says it the other way? I've worked for people who went to culinary school who were awesome. I've worked for people who didn't, who were pieces of shit. It's like we don't want to say it the other way because it's almost like offensive or something. I don't know. Yeah, it's I don't know. I think school's great. I think if you can handle it and it's a path you can take, I definitely highly recommend people take it.
For sure.
So you did school, and then where'd you go after NECI?
You know, my wife, well, we were only engaged at that point, but she was doing grad school work in Texas. So I went down there and worked at the Four Seasons in Houston for a couple of years. And then we came straight up to Chicago after that.
And you're in Chicago now, right?
Yeah.
It's a great city, man. It's a beautiful city. I think Chicago is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we've been here 15 years, I think. Like, oh, wow. it's been good to us.
Now, are you actually in the city or no?
Yeah.
Good for you, man. Yeah, I've got a couple buddies up there. Brian Jupiter does Frontier Grill. My buddy Aaron Reed, he's a private chef over there, does a bunch of events. He's a good brother. Yeah, it's a great city, man. I think the world of that place. I haven't been enough. I need to go back to Chicago, man. What's some of your places over there in Chicago? What's some of your favorite spots?
You know, it's funny because the grand irony of being a chef in Chicago is you're always too busy to go out, you know?
Right.
But well, we've been just hitting neighborhood places. I live in the northwest of the city, so I've got, like, my taco place is this place called Chicago Taco Authority, which is a riff on the Chicago Transit Authority. All the trains run under the CTA banner. And then there's, like, a French bistro kind of place called Community, which is, like, almost walking distance from my house. There's a great Italian beef place called Roma's. Which, you know, it's just the best house-cut fries you've ever had, that sort of thing.
Now, wait, I'm going to sound like a jackass here because, I mean, I'm a New York guy. Italian beef, you want to explain what that is to people who don't know?
Well, so it's roast beef, thinly shaved, and then they put sweet peppers and giardiniera on it on, like, a hoagie roll, and then they dip the whole thing in au jus and wrap it in tinfoil.
Damn. So the whole thing's already dipped in the au jus, so it's like this soggy mess when you get it.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is they'll ask you if you want it dipped or dry, and it's a trick because you're supposed to get it dipped.
Okay, so they laugh at the people who want it dry. They're like, "Oh, that guy's an asshole."
Yeah, like it's supposed to be a mess. You know, you're not going to eat it and come away clean.
Damn, so it's like date food for me. Like, yeah, as a fat guy, like, that's what I'm talking about.
Tonight we're joined by Chef Ben Randall. You can check him out on Twitter at In the Weeds WBR or on Instagram at Chef Ben Randall.
Chef, so you've been and now you're working, you're doing the corporate thing, you're working with Sage Dining Services, great company, and we talk about this all the time on the show, Dave. You know, you've been here when we do it, man. There's so many of these jobs that are coming up now that offer, you know, talented chefs like Chef Ben here, they offer them the opportunity to take his skills and use them but not have to work 90 hours a week. Now, I'm sure there's some busy weeks in there, of course, you know, but on a regular basis, getting your ass handed to you, you know, nightly, and never being home for holidays, never knowing what vacation pay is, and not even making a good wage for the most part, they're coming in and giving these jobs. And I got a feeling Sage Dining Services is kind of one of those jobs, right?
Yeah, this one kind of fell in my lap. Like, I was running the food service for a grad school on the South Side, and it was a self-op, so it was, you know, counter service, and we were processing payment and all this, and it was good. You know, I turned that operation around. That's why they hired me. And then I was still commuting like an hour to work and 2 hours home because of traffic, you know.
Right. Oh, I know the feeling.
This one, yeah, for sure. You had the same experience tonight.
I wanted to get a root canal. If I could have picked root canal or drive home, I think I would have taken root canal.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I would have.
But like this gig, yeah, I'm working Monday to Friday. I get to work at about 5:30 in the morning. I leave between 2:30 and 3 in the afternoon.
I mean, that's early as fuck, but you get used to it.
It is.
Right?
Yeah, and I pretty much have. Like, I'm still tired when I get home a little bit, but it's like I'm making dinner for my family every night. I see my kids during daylight. It's
a good gig.
It's not what I expected I'd be doing, but yeah, the money's great, the benefits are great. I get my summers off and they're paid.
Holy
which is
shit.
Insane. Yeah, I know. when the guy who was interviewing me told me that, I had him repeat it because I didn't believe him.
You're like, I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Exactly. And then I was like, where the fuck do I sign? Like, where's the paperwork?
Well, the good news is now that you told me that, I will be calling you to get you to come work this summer with me when I need help. So get ready for that phone call. Chef, are you available? Fuck you, I know you're there. I know you're not working.
Dude, that's what caller ID's for, man.
That's a good gig, though, man. You get to be home, especially if you have kids and stuff. That's an amazing gig. But that's what's happening. Like, you're seeing more and more gigs like this pop up, where these companies have realized that if they, you know, pay a little bit more, they can get some talented people in there. I think it's a great thing to have. I mean, look, yeah. Even places like, you know, Dave is the number three at the second biggest casino in the country at the Crown Restaurant of it at Tuscany. And he's the number three there. And you know, he's telling me, too, Dave, it's a great gig. Like, they pay you well. Like, you don't have to kill yourself every night. And there's a good crew, right?
Yeah, it's pretty solid. I mean, I think my crew is what makes it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what they're doing. So if they didn't, it would kind of suck. But it's nice. It's kind of a cushy job compared to most of the kitchens I've been in.
Right, but I think that's a direct response to jobs that, you know, like Ben's got here. Like, that, I think that's what's happened. Like, you're seeing these people like, oh shit, we can't seem to get these good people anymore. These other places are taking them away. I mean, it's got to be a change in the business somehow, and I think that might be the beginning of it. And I say beginning, but I think it's been going on for a couple of years now.
For sure. And I mean, you can look at it like, you and I are about the same age, and there's a huge number of us who got out of culinary school about the same time, you know, and we have families now, and we can't do the 2 p.m. to 2 a.m, you know, Tuesday to Sunday kind of a gig.
No, definitely not, man. You get the Monday off when no one's fucking home, and
I'm
there, man. Like, you know, like I know what you're talking about, but there, it's changing. I think the business is changing because people still want to have quality, you know, culinary workers, chefs, cooks, and I have no problem with the word cook. I think it's a compliment.
Oh, yeah.
We work with our hands. That's what we do. But, you know, people are realizing that to get quality people, you have to pay a little bit more and offer a little bit more. And now it's kind of slowly becoming the norm, I think. And I think you're also seeing, and Chef, what do you think, man? Dave, don't comment. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, you can comment. But, you know, in my generation of cooks, and when I was younger, and I'm sure maybe it was the same way with you, I mean, dude, I got home at 2 a.m. or whatever. We would drink. We would party. I went to bed when the sun came up. When the sun was going down, it was time to go back to work. Like,
oh yeah,
that's where the generation I come from. Where now you have a lot of cooks and stuff. Maybe you have some of the guys that work for you that are like this. That, you know, my body's a temple. I train. I go to the gym and I'm CrossFit. And I don't drink because I don't. You know, I've got to be the best at what I do. You see anybody like that around where you are?
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's a brand new bakery here in town called Flour, which is Phlour. I don't know how I feel about that name yet.
Fuck,
I haven't
wait
been
a minute.
Over there.
Yeah, how do you spell? Say it again.
Phlour.
Fuck, that just messed my whole like night up. Wait a minute.
But
Dave,
so
did you write that down, Dave? Because that's fucked up.
I mean, I get it.
But like, if you check out their Instagram, their head baker, their owner or whatever, that fella is also like this fitness guru. His whole thing is, yeah, I'm a baker, but I'm not going to be the completely round baker. You know, he's got that aspect to his life. Kind of pisses me off because I don't have that.
Right.
You know,
right. The second I turned 40, all of a sudden I woke up the next morning and my foot hurt. I don't know why. Like, what the fuck is happening? And for some reason, like, my foot hurt, and I can't, like, move my shoulder a certain way or it hurts. I don't know why it happened. Like,
oh, yeah, I remember you calling me. You thought you were having a stroke.
All right. But, yeah, I think it's definitely changing, and we're seeing those people. Where are the guys that – I mean, are those people in the industry that were you and I when we were in our 20s, are they gone now? Is it changed that much?
It's got to be. I mean, now I'm used to being the young kid in the kitchen who was, you know, talented and nobody knew where he came from, and now I'm the old guy. And I don't see people older than me.
Yeah.
which is depressing, but at the same time, it's like, where did those guys go? You know, like, where are the chefs that I worked for when I was a kid?
Hey, you guys got to check out Chef's Instagram page, the picture he's got up there. The first one is this. He's like, yeah, here's me and my old guy hair, which is... It's like this gray head of hair. I'm like, I get it. I know. Listen, my hair is purple and blue on top, but for some reason we don't dye the side. So it's gray on the side and then purple on top. I don't fucking know. I'm confused.
Yeah, I went gray a couple of years ago, and I thought about it for a second. And I was like, nah, I'm going to keep it. You know, it looks
works,
all right.
Man. It works, dude. It works. Have you ever had the chance to do any of the Food Network shows or any of the, any you know, competitions or television programs or things like that?
I haven't done any competitions that were televised, no. Like, I belong to a barbecue club that meets once a month, and I win that, you know, occasionally, but no, I haven't done any TV stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that whole generation is finally fading, and you're seeing all those shows go away from what happened with Food Network the past few, over the past year, but I think you'd be a good guy for it. I think you'd be great. You're a good talker. Like, you run your mouth. I'm sure you could be the bad guy if they wanted you to. They've asked me to be the bad guy plenty of times. It's just, it's what you do, you know, and they want people who are good talkers, which brings me to the podcast, man. You started doing this. You're, what, 120 episodes in now?
Yeah, something like that.
And how did you, what brought that on?
Well, I 4 or 5 years ago, I realized that I couldn't remember what my station looked like at that first, like, French restaurant that I worked at in Kalamazoo.
Wow.
And that pissed me off. Like, I couldn't remember what my station looked like anymore. So I thought, I need to write this stuff down or I'm going to forget all the restaurants where I've worked, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, that sounds like a pain in the ass. But I had just started listening to podcasts, so I thought, well, I can do that. You know, and so I just basically started chronicling all the places. I've worked at 25 different jobs over 26 years. So there was a lot of material there.
Wow. And so you're 120 episodes in now, right? It's you and you have your buddy co-hosting with you.
Yeah, Steve Cadwell. He's my roommate from college, and we stayed close. And what's nice about him is that he never really worked in the industry. So he asked me questions, and we talk about things that I wouldn't normally talk about because it's just common sense stuff to me. Like, it's right. Stuff that you and I know, but then, you know, regular old people don't know this stuff. So he's asking me about that, and that's the kind of, that's basically now what we do is we talk restaurant trends and news and goofy shit like what would superheroes eat on their night off, you know.
I think one of my favorite bits you guys did was when we were talking about, I think I told you in the car when I was driving home, that was it, names of cars that were food or food that should be names of cars. I couldn't remember, like the Toyota. It was so fucking funny.
Yeah, we were trying to name cars after obscure food. I forget exactly yeah. how it went, but yeah.
It was like the it should never be the all new 2018 Toyota hybrid hoagie sandwich. It's right. It just doesn't work. I don't know. It's fucking funny, man. And I was like, dude, you guys could go with this for an hour. It's a great bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, I don't edit the podcast that much. It's just, like, if one of us has to run out of the room or if there's a weird noise, because I just record here in the attic of my house, and so we'll get, like, cop cars and shit go by, and I have to edit that out. But there will be times where I'm like, you know, I need to cut this down because we went, you know, 3 hours talking about, you know, food and sci-fi or something, and I need to trim some of it out.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Dave, tell them about the Chef's Podcast.
Tonight we're joined by Chef Ben Randall, host of In the Weeds, available on iTunes. You can check him out on Twitter at In the Weeds, WBR, and on Instagram at Chef Ben Randall.
Well, here's the thing, man. So you find these guys who, like yourself, who have been doing this, and it's almost like, I mean, podcasts are a dime a dozen now. We all have them, and it's actually the death of radio. And I've actually, on this very program, Chef, I've had a regular FM radio guy on here, a program director for an FM radio channel. And he's even said that we've had to change how we do things because of content and the way things have changed. And, you know, we focus more on personalities and talent and the having the people on there because you can get music anywhere. I think one of the things that you do very well is that you kind of carved a little niche out for yourself where it's a food podcast, you talk about food, but you also bring up some really random obscure shit. I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, it's funny because, listen, guys like myself who, you know, I work alone for the most part. And, you know, I'll be standing by myself for 3 hours in a kitchen and, you know, having a podcast in one of my ears while I'm doing it and listen to you talk about fucking stupid random shit. Like, it feels like I'm not by myself anymore and you feel like people are getting familiar with you. Have you seen, as the episodes go, and trust me, I know more than anybody or I know as much as everybody does how much it takes to build a podcast up and to get ratings and get people to pay attention. Have you seen, like, it kind of jump more as you've done, you know, hit across that 100-episode mark?
Yeah, I mean, what we get now is we get people who, I mean, it's all social media, you know this much, and it's just like, we'll get people on Twitter, we'll get people on Instagram who will ask us questions about the most recent episode, and then that'll get traction, and then, like, so we'll see the initial, like, everybody who has subscribed, so, like, the first day we drop an episode, there'll be a big spike. And then if somebody asks a question on Twitter, we'll get another big spike. It's because, you know, now it's exponential. So the more people are listening, the more people are talking about it, the more interest you get from the people they know. what I've found actually has helped me out the most, like there's a radio guy here in Chicago. His name is James Van Osdell, and you should check his show out too.
Okay.
It's called Carcone Carne.
Okay.
And he interviews actors and bands and stuff like this, but he's a radio guy, and he just takes them out in his car and they go get dinner and they just talk. He and I hooked up a while back, and he was able to, like, we cross promote and stuff like that.
That's cool.
And just knowing a guy who knows a guy has been more
helpful. Well, that's what it is, brother. That's what it is. I mean, it's social media and knowing people. That's 100% what it is. Listen, we came up with this idea. I'm not sure how familiar you are with what we do on this show, man. But like I had a good brother of mine, Chef Dan Monroe. He's a former Army cook, right? He cooked in the Army. He trained. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what he did. Did very well for himself. And so we had him on here, and we were talking about, you know, just the holidays and being on base and whatnot. And, you know, I do a lot of charity events and things like that. And I asked him, I was like, I don't know why I asked him, but Dave, why'd I ask him this? I said, how come I've never gone to cook for the Navy? I mean, here in Connecticut where I live, I mean, we have one of the biggest sub bases in the country here. And he was like,
I think it was the Rosé.
Was it? Okay. Might have been drinking. Well, long story short, Chef, like I called the Navy, which is very like rudimentary when you say it like that, but that's what I did. And I told them what we do, and they know me from Restaurant Road Trip and the show I host and whatnot, and at Aris here in Connecticut. And I told them I wanted to bring some friends of mine and do a big barbecue event with them for the holidays around Christmas time, and they said yes.
It's nice.
So we are cooking for 400 sailors on the 28th. Now, what's happened because of that is that now it's evolved to we're doing that to, you know, it's we're going to do the radio show live there. It's all kind of come, you know, into this whole ordeal because of, like you said, people you know, people reach out, people, you know, it's all who you know and the way you do it in social media. And that's kind of – it's amazing how something so small can become something so big. And
yeah.
I'm sure, like, you know, when you first started doing your podcast, you had no idea you'd be 120 episodes in and people are listening. Isn't that the weirdest thing ever?
It is. It is. I was actually that's a super cool thing you're doing, by the way. Impressed by that.
Thanks, man.
But, like, I was approached by a journalist at one point, this fella, and
dude,
can't think of his
weekend.
Name right
you
now.
You should bring your ass to the Northeast to come hang out with us.
Well, you were talking about it's the end of December, right?
Yeah, the 28th. You probably have Christmas break.
Yeah, I don't have my plans nailed down yet, but I've got like 2 weeks off around Christmas, so let me chat with the wife and my family and find out what we're doing.
I mean, it's a bunch of sailors who don't get holidays off, you know?
Right.
And we're gonna do this show live in front of all of them at the end. It's gonna be fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Sorry, anyway, Frank, go ahead.
Oh no! I had this journalist send me an email, and he was like, "Hey, can I interview you about your show?" And I was like, "Sure, no problem." And we did. We met at a coffee shop, and he interviewed me, and he wrote me up for the Chicago Reader. And then I looked him up. Dude won a James Beard Award for food journalism a couple of years earlier. I was like, holy shit, he interviewed me?
Yeah. You know? And your ass is like, wait a minute, I was making like dick jokes. I think I asked him about his balls. I don't know. Like,
exactly.
I was like, hey, so if you were a superhero.
Right. So that was the lesson there, which was look up anybody who's going to want to talk to you. So.
Look, just text me next time. Let me help you a little bit before you go into interviews. This picture you sitting there, you inhale half a pack of cigarettes. I don't even know if you smoke, but you're like, all right, hang on a minute, man. Wait, what? Not at all. I'm kidding, of course. So that's awesome, man. But that's the thing. Like, it's almost like a grassroots thing that happens once you start taking off with it. And it's awesome because we live in a world now, Chef. And like we talked before, you and I are kind of similar backgrounds, come from the same age range. Can you imagine if we had this access that we have now? That with podcasts and just the information that's out there, if I had had that when I was younger, how much faster I would have excelled as a chef. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Well, that, and I mean access to everything. Like I was raised in Traverse City, Michigan, and it doesn't get more north or whiter than that. You know, and so I didn't see a jalapeno until I went to college, and that's criminal. Like,
is that
my
racist
mom...
remark?
Not at all.
I'm
like,
kidding. I'm joking.
No,
I'm
spicy
totally
food in my family at all, man. Like, now my folks have trouble eating the food that I make because it's always too weird. And right. I'm going, well, you sent me to culinary school, so this is what you bought.
See,
but
that's hysterical.
You can get like there's a Korean or not a Filipino market within about a mile of my house where I can get ingredients that I've never seen before, and I kind of feel like I've been around, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And today, awesome. Yeah, the access, like I can just be in that store and I can Google what the hell is this thing and then figure out how to cook it. It's amazing.
That's right. I mean, it's crazy. Like, so I made an apple crumble and I went on Google this evening. And I went on Google and just looked at shit and I didn't like anything I saw, but it inspired me to make an apple crumble out of fucking Honey Nut Cheerios. And it was delicious, by the way.
Nice. Dude, it was so awesome.
It was so fucking good. I was like, I made this pan for me, and here's a little bit for you guys. That's pretty much what right. I did. But, you know, it back in, you know, 1996, I couldn't do that shit.
No way.
It was you didn't know how to do that? Then buy a book.
Yeah, do you remember the internet in 1996, man? It was hilarious.
I wish I could make the AOL connecting sounds. You know?
What was it? Netscape Navigator?
Netscape Navigator. There you go. Or the AOL sound. Like, remember the slamming doors? Like, you'd log on, and immediately there's that one asshole friend who would immediately see you on and send you the messenger. Hey, buddy. And you're like, I just got on here. I'm trying to, like, do my own thing, and now you're no. And you don't answer them? I don't know. Dude, it was a weird time. Definitely a weird time.
And then everybody had that one friend who had a web page, and it was on like GeoCities, and it didn't do anything, shit. But it had a bunch of like fire.
it did the outline of fire, like the fucking borders of fire. That right. shit was awesome. That shit was awesome.
I was that friend. Damn it.
Dude, I'm trying to get t-shirts made for the show that have like a muscular comic book superhero tiger on it, which is kind of badass because tigers are awesome.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, it's funny, man. We live in a world now where, like, even if it's, you know, you can Google something immediately, or you can even, like, listen to podcasts or just go to YouTube. I mean, literally, I remember The Matrix, the Keanu Reeves movie?
Yeah.
All right, so remember how they would, like, he put the thing into the back of his head? He's like, I know Kung Fu, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that far off from where we are now. Like, I can go to YouTube, watch that shit, and be like, I can make a sourdough now. You know, like, it didn't happen immediately. It took 8 minutes to watch the video, but that's what it is. I mean, you can learn that shit e-freak immediately. It's an amazing time to be a chef or a cook in this industry.
Well, yeah, like, I'm sure you've seen on my Instagram, because it actually now bothers my children that I put so much stuff on Instagram, but, like, I was making bagels. I've gotten into bagels real big, and my wife likes everything bagel. So I was looking for the everything nice. Bagel seasoning, and my grocery store didn't have it. So I'm standing in the aisle, and I just Googled what it is, and I bought all the ingredients to make everything bagel seasoning, you know?
Yeah. Only problem is it costs you $93.
Right, yeah, and I have pounds and pounds of dried minced onions in my house now.
Oh, Jesus. And your wife's like, Ben, we don't need any more dried onion flakes or whatever the fuck this is. We have a lot of them here. I don't know. Dude, that's hysterical. How'd your bagels come out, though? I saw them on Instagram.
They're good. They're dangerous. Like, my wife, that's what she gets mad at me about, because she works from home, and so I make all this sourdough. I make all these bagels and stuff, and she's like, who the fuck do you think's eating all this? It's me. I'm right here.
I'm like, listen, I know what you're doing. You're like, listen, I'm trying to keep you here forever, so if I keep doing this shit... you'll do well.
Oh, damn, those look pretty good. Yeah, sorry, I just wanted to check them out.
Good. Well, here's the thing, man. So, like, this is what I don't understand. And Ben, I've never seen your wife, brother, so I don't know. But, like, my wife is a 10, I'm a 4.5 at best. And Dave can vouch for me. Dave, am I lying or no? And I mean, me as a 4.5.
A 4.5. I mean, sure, we'll go with 4.5.
Well, Dave, he'll give me a 5 sometimes when he's feeling nice, which makes me feel good about myself. But, yeah, as chefs, I mean, we kind of always have that one little one up. Like, it always gives us 3 or 4 extra points because we can cook, and I believe that. But But somehow or another, we've become the new rock stars. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a chef and you tell somebody you're a chef, immediately, like, eyes light up. Everyone wants to talk to you. They want to be a part of what you're doing. And of course, there's the assholes who are like, oh, you should cook for me sometime. And I'm like, really?
Right.
Do you go to the doctor and you're like, oh, you should give me flu medication for free sometime? Or you should deliver my baby sometime. What? That's so fucking weird. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's become a thing where it's the new rock star. People immediately want to be a part of it.
Yeah, and it's it didn't happen all at once. Like, it's because of the Food Network and that sort of thing. Like, we've all all of a sudden we share in some of that celebrity, which has never hurt me at all. Like, I tricked my wife into marrying me by cooking for her.
Hell
a bunch,
yeah.
You know?
I used roofies. How did you trick yours? How'd that Sorry.
It was a lot more work. I should have gone the roofie route. Yeah, you know, like easier. I cooked for her for like 5 years before she said yes.
Fuck, dude. I'm kidding. I didn't roofie you. Well, babe, you know that. She won't listen to the show, so we're good.
Well, like, I don't know if this happens to you, but there's a grocery store between my work and home. So I'll stop at the grocery store on the way home and I'll forget that I'm wearing my chef coat and customers will stop me and ask me questions. And I'm like, I don't fucking work here. You know, like
100% nonstop.
Like, I'll answer your question, but I don't work here.
Dude, no doubt about it. That's exactly what people do. And I was there this morning, and I had someone ask me how to sear scallops. So I'm like, oh, let me tell you all about it, because I know you're doing it wrong. Like, I jumped at the opportunity. I really did. Like, the second I know someone's going to do something wrong, I'm like, let me show you where you're wrong, sir.
Right.
And do it. But yeah, nonstop, man. If you go to the grocery store in your chef coat, you're asking for trouble, dude.
Yeah. Well, and then I'm that asshole who will accidentally go to a restaurant like that. So Roma's, that Italian beef place, man, I stopped in there one time in my chef coat because it was on my way home.
Right.
And immediately the owner came out and he was like, who do you think you are? And I was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, shit, I got my chef coat on.
But, I mean, who do you think I am? I'm in the business. Who the fuck says that? Yeah. Dude, I'm in the business. Like, generally you walk into a restaurant, you're wearing your chef coat, at least in my world. People are like, hey, chef, how are you? What can we do for you? What would you like? I don't know. It's just... If someone asked me, who the fuck do you think you are? I'd be like, I'd like mine wet, please.
Well, this guy's great. All he wanted to do was fuck with me. It was great. And then we ended up talking about fries for like 45 minutes.
That's what's up right there. So I work out in Montauk, New York, which is the end of Long Island, during the summertime. And there's a fantastic fish market there. Very, very, very close to Montauk. And I go to it sometimes. It's run by an old Irish gentleman. Who has roots there. His family's live there. Yeah, they've run this market forever. You know the story, those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And literally, like, you go there like at 10:30 in the morning, all the fishermen are there hanging out watching like a soccer game or watching some sort of random sport from across the world. I've actually went in there and watched them watching curling before, which was amazing. Not during the Olympics, by the way. And they're all drinking like beers and shit. And this guy is like, oh, you're a chef. And he pulls me aside and he's like, handing me raw scallops to taste right there, handing me raw shrimp. He's like, oh, you gotta taste this. This is delicious. That guy over there, the really ugly fucker over there with the long beard, he just brought these in. You gotta taste these. And I'm like, okay. Right. Well, but that's what happens, man. I gotta imagine, you know, in Chicago, the same sort of things happen when you have great markets there and people just like immediately, hey, almost proud of what they've got, whether it's farmers, markets, and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I developed a relationship with a bunch of the vendors at the farmer's market in my neighborhood. And unfortunately, it was only every other week. But there was one guy who came from, I'm going to forget the name of the farm now, but it's a free-range farm that does pork and lamb and some beef and a lot of like ducks and chickens in northwest Indiana. And nice. Yeah, I would go there. And after a while, I would just go there and I would see my guy, Matt, and I would just be like, Matt, what do you have today that's weird? And he would hook me up with like mango habanero brats, or he would be like, oh, we have lamb saddle. Do you want some of that? And I don't even know if he was cutting me a deal on it, but whatever was weird, he had some set aside for me.
That's fucking amazing, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure he got you a deal on it, though. I'm sure he got you a deal on it. I mean, that's just what they do. These guys love chefs. I mean, these people love people who appreciate food, you know?
Yeah.
Dave, why don't you tell everybody where they can find more about Chef Ben's podcast?
All right, you can check them out on iTunes. You can check them out on Twitter at In The Weeds, WBR, and also on Instagram at Chef Ben Randall.
Ben, it's when it comes to doing things like podcasts and doing food and things like that, have you found that, I don't know, do people reach out to you basically and say, hey, how do I start a podcast? Have you had that question hit you yet?
Yeah, a couple times. And unfortunately...
Hit the record button on your phone.
You know, because the mechanics of it are that easy, but, I mean, you guys have listened to podcasts. Most podcasts out there are kind of shitty.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to say that mine isn't. I've listened to yours. Yours isn't. You know, it's... A lot of people have podcasts that are about absolutely nothing at all, or they're about movies. And it's like, I don't need to listen to three white guys in the Midwest talk about movies, you know?
That's fucking hysterical.
I can do that with two other guys myself. You know, I want to listen to a podcast that's about something.
It's about movies.
Awesome. Unless it's movies, yeah.
Which I'm glad is a fantastic segue. You're a big Star Wars guy. Just...
The thing is, yeah, we're guilty of that, just like everybody else, you know?
Right, right. Well, dude, listen, I think you're right about that. I think the key thing is to you know, with what we do here is we try to mix it up. You know, we talk bullshit, and then we talk, you know, you've actually kind of been living it here live. But we talk a little bit of real shit, then it's a bunch of nonsense, and it's some real shit and nonsense, which is kind of what happens, which is almost as like if you and I were sitting at a bar, that's probably what would be happening. It would just be fucking stupid, and then pretty good conversation. And then in an hour, we'd be hugging each other, saying I love you, and, oh, you bad, just drink some more. And then we'd be like, we can fucking take those guys in beer pong. That's what happened.
Right. Yeah, and we'd start a fight, yeah.
Oh, I don't want to fight anybody. Well, Dave's with us. We're good. Dave's about seven. Dave's a legit seven-footer, so we can bring Dave. We're good.
Oh, right on.
That's right. He's a seven-footer who is not very friendly. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. But
why is everybody always like, oh, we're good, Dave's with us? That's not always the case. I mean, I might just
you're 9 feet tall. Who the fuck wouldn't think that?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
If I could walk around with the Big Show, I'd feel pretty fucking comfortable, wouldn't you, Ben? I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, I'd tell everybody to fuck off.
No, don't do that.
Jesus Christ. Chef, let me ask you, man. When it comes to what you do at your job, right, how important is it for you to you know, support the local guys, support local farmers whenever possible, obviously in a corporate environment. And do you have the opportunity to do that? Do they give you the leeway to say, oh, I want to buy this from my local, you know, farmer Sal down the street who makes amazing microgreens?
Well, I mean, I hate to sound like I'm beating the drum for Sage too much, but like that's built right in. So we have a purchasing department back in the home office in Baltimore, but all I have to do is say to them like, hey, there's this local vendor I want to bring on. And they call them up and they make sure that they do what we want them to do, and then we're good, and I can bring them on. And like, all of our produce is as local as we can get. Like, we use a real small produce company. We have a broadliner, but I don't use them all that much. And then like, our dairy is local, and we work with a bakery that's right just down the street. So that's actually expected of us, which is awesome. It's great to have that kind of support from what is essentially a corporate structure. You know,
how amazing is that? Big shout out to Sage Dining Services for that. That's fucking, I love that. I mean, because I can't imagine being, you know, if you know, I'm some local farmer who does microgreens, let's just say, and all of a sudden you like my stuff, so next thing I know, 2 days later, I have your company calling me to set up, hey, we're going to, like, that's an amazing phone call for them to probably get. That probably makes the farmer feel amazing and really makes them feel like there's, you know, a big company who likes what they're doing. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. This job wouldn't hold my interest if it wasn't what it is. Like, we're a scratch kitchen, so we're not opening cans, we're not thawing stuff out, and I keep getting in trouble because I cook too much, and like, I'm supposed to be the guy in charge, and meanwhile, here I am, like, I made bagels at the job today just to see if I could still, like, if I could do it, and my cooks are like, you know, that's our job, you're really not supposed to be doing this stuff, and I'm like, look, I'm gonna get really bored, you know, but I employ six cooks, and they're going to get bored if I take too much of that away from them because they hired on because it's all scratch cooking, you know?
What a great gig. And those cooks that you brought on that work under you, do they have like a full Benny's plan and like they have a whole situation for themselves where they can move up in the company?
Yeah. Yeah. We're looking to expand in Chicago right now. My location is the only one Sage has in Chicago, but like my number two guy, my line lead, he could do my job right now, which is... It makes me a little nervous, but they like me, so I'm not too worried. But when we do pick up another location, they're just going to move him. They're just going to offer him that other school, and I'll have to train somebody else up.
Yeah, but that's great, man. I mean, literally, this is the kind of jobs – and Dave, you and I have had these conversations in the past. This is the kind of jobs that are changing the industry, that are offering like a real quality of life, but still being able to work in an industry where you can – you know, order local food or make an amazing menu or change your menus and things like that. You know, I think it's great.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Chef, do you change your menus daily or is it like a weekly thing or how's that work? And do you have 100% control of it?
Well, I mean, sort of. I mean, it's a daily change. So we have something new every single day. And the menus I write, I usually write 2 or 3 months out, and then they have to get processed through our – we have 6 dietitians at the home office, and they check over to make sure that everything is balanced.
Yeah,
and that we're
– certain things, right? You have to have this much grain, this much – yeah.
But, I mean, like, we do 4 composed salads on our salad bar every day, and we're talking quinoa salads or, like, spinach and strawberry salad with a poppy seed vinaigrette, like we're doing, and that's in addition to our build your own salad bar. And then we also have hot items, we also have sandwiches. Like, it's a huge operation.
Wow, wow. And so you get there, and you guys are serving lunch at, like, what, noon, or is it?
11 o'clock is our first service.
Wow. And how many people are you serving every day?
Right around 700.
That is respectable. Dave, do you hear that?
Yeah.
That's a respectable number. These days, where Dave works now, if it's anything less than 500, he won't even pay attention anymore. he's such an asshole. He's like, oh, we did 600 Friday night. I'm like, go fuck yourself. I'm doing 10 people with 8 courses, but whatever.
I told you this week, Saturday was brutal. So I wasn't like, oh, yeah, we did like, you know, 680, no problem. There was no problem, but it still killed us. So
that's awesome. I think I missed that part of it. Now, Chef, do you have like the rush? Do you still get the rush at all of doing when you're doing service, or is it not quite there anymore?
You know, it's still there. But then the other side of it is that, like, that's our standard service. There are days when we're also doing, you know, like, hot breakfast for 200, or we're doing a plated dinner that night for, like, the board of directors or something. And so there's always other stuff going on. I mean, I'll do cooking classes in the classrooms twice a month, you know, with kids. I was in the nursery classroom with 4-year-olds doing pumpkin pancakes last week.
No way.
And it was kind of a pain in the ass, but it was at the same time it was awesome.
Yeah, you know? But you're set. Listen, it's a pain in the ass, but you're definitely making an impact on those kids, and that's fucking really cool.
Yeah.
Wow, look at you, man. You're like a you got a good radio show. You got this job. You're impacting kids. You're making you're cooking for 700 people. I feel a little bit inadequate, Dave. I do. Like, I'm not doing enough. Like, I should do more. It's the worst part about this whole job. But he does have summers off, so fuck him, right?
That's right. Yeah, it balances out somewhere, right?
Hey, that James Beard guy that interviewed you, did he ever say fuck you like I just did? Because I'm just trying to figure out. That's not good. I shouldn't do that.
I don't know if I did. I probably didn't now. I mean, I've kept in touch with him, too, because he just wrote a book that I bought but I haven't read yet, which is like this... About 100 best restaurants in Chicago guide kind of a thing. Yeah. So I don't think I ever cursed him out. You never know.
Well, listen, I do it out of love, and I know that you're a chef. It makes you feel more comfortable. That's what, at least it makes me feel more comfortable. So it's got to make you feel comfortable too. It's a better place to be in.
Right.
So what's up for the future, man? What's the plan? Any big plans with the podcast? We're gonna keep going here, or are you gonna try like do something more with it, or maybe expand to doing maybe more than one a week? Or what are you thinking?
You know, I don't know. What we have going right now is a nice mix of like the stuff that you were talking about, just like goofy stuff, or we cover like the, you know, food trends or whatever. And then sometimes we've done some real serious episodes that are about like foodborne illness outbreaks, or, you know, like with all of these celebrity chefs being outed as sexual abusers. We did a couple episodes about that were not all fun and games, you know, because there's some serious shit going on in the industry right now. And I've actually gotten a lot of really good feedback about that, where people are saying, you know, we actually want more episodes that have substance. And so we might switch over to doing a little bit more of that kind of stuff.
Just keep the funny jokes in there too, occasionally, because you got to keep them in there for me. You know, it's funny because maybe we can spend 2 minutes on here. I know we're getting close to 11 here, but Anthony Bourdain recently, you know, killed himself. We all know that. And I've said my piece on that. And I did a TV show with him called The Taste, and got a chance to hang out with Anthony and spend some time with him. And when that happened, Chef, my Instagram blew up with everybody posting pictures about how influential and this guy changed everything and all the blah, 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 all that stuff, right? I didn't say anything. And I'm sure much like you and much like Dave and everybody else on the planet, we've all had friends who have killed themselves. And I think when you have a family and you're committed to somebody, I think your view on that might change a little bit, as it did with me. But you know, when that happened with him, everybody's posting all that stuff. And I didn't say a whole lot. And then I came on the show and I went on a tirade for 12 minutes about how I think he's a coward and he's a fucking asshole. And it's the worst thing that could have ever happened. The guy did not like our industry. The guy did not like people in our industry. And, you know, all these people who talk about how much of a inspiration this guy was. Sure. And he did change the business a little bit. He changed, you know, our industry, maybe for the better, maybe not. I don't know, but did change it. But the guy was a jerk, and even more of a jerk because of what he did. When you see people like that in our industry who have such a following, who are so influential, take their own life, what's the first thing that crosses your mind?
You know, I was surprised by how strongly I was affected by it. And like at first I didn't want to believe that he was gone, because I had a different approach to him than you did, because like I quit drinking about 5 years ago, which really needed to happen in my life. Like, it was a thing that I should have done a long time ago.
Jesus, and I'm watching telling you to drink during this program. Why did you tell me that? I'm an asshole. I mean,
well, because it makes it weird, you know. I don't want to make it weird. My feeling about Bourdain, because he had gone through all that and then he kind of cleaned up and then he got off of heroin and all this. And so my feeling was that, like, as long as he's okay, the rest of us are okay.
Yeah.
And so when he killed himself, it was like, oh shit, maybe the rest of us aren't okay, you know? And so that was my feeling. Like, it made me think more about my approach to stuff. So
I kind of had the same reaction on that one too, but I was pissed at the same time because of it. It was like, that was like the person be like, okay, you're supposed to prove that we're all going to be okay, but now you just killed yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I think I also realized that I kind of still wanted to grow up to be him, and now that's completely changed because I don't want to grow up to be a guy who kills himself, you know?
Right.
Or isn't nice to his wife, or isn't nice to people in the industry, or...
Yeah.
You know, I was on The Taste on ABC, and I watched this guy be nice to girls on the show, but not nice to the guys on the show, because he thought maybe he could, you know, do whatever he wanted to do with them, and that really bothered me. It really bothered me when I watched it with my own two eyes. It really bothered me. And,
right.
And I thought, I don't know, man. It's just kind of terrible. But, you know, on the same accord, you take a guy like him, you put him on the road 250 days out of the year, traveling across the world. The man's a chef. I mean, what the fuck do you think he's going to do?
Like, right.
He's going to work all day long. He's going to go out and fucking eat some food and then drink for the evening, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Especially when we're by ourselves. I mean, I talk about when I work out in Montauk, my first season out there, I drank alone a lot, because that's what I knew. That's what made me feel, you know, like I was home. I was comfortable, because that's what I was used to doing. And
well, that's how you wind down, too.
Yeah, completely. And, you know, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's what I did. And I can only imagine, and Chef, you were saying for yourself that even you quit drinking a while ago, but like that's what it was. And I'm guessing that's probably what your story was, why you quit drinking.
Yeah. I mean, I had to. Like, I got to a point where it was like, one of these days I'm going to lose, you know, I'm going to lose my driver's license. I'm going to lose my family. I might die. Like, it got really bad toward the end.
Wow. Wow. That's really, did your wife, like, chime in about that, or was that all you?
She had been trying to communicate that to me for a while, and finally got through. You know,
so what do you do?
I owe a lot of that to her.
What do you do now? Like you're, I mean, we all have to have that wind down time. What do you do now for it?
Well, I mean, it's nice having this job. So that was one of the first things I had to do, was quit the job that I was at, because I couldn't keep hanging out with the same people and I couldn't keep the same hours, because I was just, like you said, I was just going to fall right back into it. And so coming home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, making dinner, by the time it's bedtime, I'm tired, you know? So that I had to change the rest of my life to accommodate this part, and it worked out.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, listen, that's awesome. And I mean, do you do anything else, or is it just, you're completely straight edge, like nothing else?
Completely sober. I never really did anything else aside from drinking. Yeah, so
me too.
Yeah, people have tried to get me into smoking weed, but I'm like, I'm a little hungry and a little tired all the time anyway, so I don't need any help with that. You know?
That's awesome. I'm always a little bit hungry. That's awesome. And that's the thing, man, because that's the world we live in now, and it's not a weird question to really even ask, because I mean, it's pretty much legal everywhere now, and. Yeah. I mean, if it's not legal, it's barely a misdemeanor. Now, listen, I mean, I don't smoke weed really ever, but I do enjoy drinking, and I do it at home by myself, which probably isn't a good thing. But, you know, I don't like drink myself to oblivion, and I'm fine if I don't drink one day, you know?
Right.
But,
and that's the first thing I said to myself when I stopped drinking, is that I'm not gonna be the judgy guy. Like, that's
yeah.
I still do maintain a bunch of relationships with restaurant folk that I used to work with. I miss going out, because I'm not going to go out and sit at the bar and just, like, stare at everybody, because that'd be weird. But,
you're
like,
the guy who orders a water or a club soda, fuck that guy.
Right, exactly, exactly. So, like, I'll have people over to my house and have a barbecue in the middle of the afternoon, and if people want to drink, it's cool. It's not going to bother me at all, and I'm drinking Coke or whatever.
Yeah.
But Like I do miss going out to the bar and just bitching the day away, you know, just like venting all of the shift stress. Wow. I miss that a lot.
Dude, that caught me by surprise that you said that, and more power to you. That's awesome. I mean, if that's what makes you happy, it makes your family happy, it works for you, that's what's up. Good for you, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you, man. Do you smoke? Were you ever a smoker?
A little bit when I used to drink. You guys were talking about that in the beginning. Do you remember when Camel would send girls out to the bars with like flavored Camels in those tins?
Yes.
I used to smoke those. You'd be like, why am I smoking a cinnamon cigarette right now? You know?
I didn't ask for a chai tea, but it's in a cigarette. Maybe I will have it.
Exactly. That was when I lived in Houston, man. That was like early aughts.
Well, in Houston, they're like, hey, you smoke cigarettes, boy, it's good for you. They like that. What was your first cigarette? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It was when I was in Kalamazoo, so I was probably 17 or 18, and I was working at the where was I working? I was working at a Radisson Hotel, and I just bummed a smoke off of somebody to hang out with the cooks outside. I don't even remember what it was.
Right. Well, because that's how we got breaks back in the day. That was your break. Yeah. If you wanted a break, if you told Chef, gotta take 5 minutes, he'd start laughing at you. If you said, Chef, I'm gonna go smoke a cigarette, he'd say, hurry up. Like, that was okay.
that's why I started smoking. I started smoking when I was 15, but I learned quick. I was like, I want to take like a break, so I just started smoking.
Yeah. That's the way it went in the business, man. That's the way it was.
But now we live in a world where if you're working in the right hotel or the right business like mine, like you can take a mental health day. Fucking unheard of.
What?
What is that?
What?
Yeah, like my staff gets they accumulate vacation days and like sick days and then personal days that you can take for just whatever reason you want. You can just call off, and as long as you call off appropriately, it's just whatever. You can just have the day.
But you have six guys who work for you, so if one guy calls off, you're fucked.
Pretty much, yeah. I just take on their work, and my staff's really good about like if they need to schedule stuff in advance, they do that. But if they need a day off, they just get that day off. Dave, that's one of the things about this company.
Dave, I want to use my mental health day tomorrow. Is that cool?
What happened?
Yeah, I'm taking my mental health day tomorrow. I need to. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna get myself some candles. I'm gonna make some green tea. I'm gonna wear a robe, and I'm just gonna kind of just get myself centered tomorrow. So that's the plan.
Yeah, make sure you get some bath bombs, some incense, and fuck off with all that. All right, because that's not happening.
Awesome. All right, so listen, new podcast is dropping when?
We'll record sometime middle of this week. We'll have a new episode up by this weekend.
Nice, nice. Well, listen, if you ever want a guest to come on and run his mouth and do some run the bits with you talking about different cars and food that should be cars, I'd love to be a part of that.
Yeah, man, absolutely. We'll get you on.
It's super easy. Dude, we appreciate your time tonight, man. I know I went a little bit over here. Dave, tell everybody where they can find the podcast, where they can find Chef at.
All right, you can check him out on Twitter at In The Weeds, WBR, Instagram at Chef Ben Randall, and on iTunes.
120 episodes. That's a lot of catching up to do with that shit, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of me. It's a lot of me talking.
Yeah, but dude, you're a good talker, man. You're a good talker. I think you're very good at keeping people's interest, and you're a good ambassador for our business overall, man. So we appreciate you very, very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying so. And I like your show as well, man. This is it's a lot of fun to hear all the different voices you bring on.
It's I don't know. I think this is the last show ever. This might be it. I think we're done. I'm kidding. No, I feel very fortunate and lucky to be able to come on here on a Monday night and run my mouth and talk shit and bring some of the coolest people that I know on the industry and just talk business, man. And you know, like I said tonight, I think we talked a whole lot, and I think we actually gave a lot of young people who do check this program out a different view, a different perspective, a different an opportunity to see that there's more to this business than just, you know, searing a scallop properly or seasoning a piece of beef the right way. Like we talked about different types of job opportunities and things like that. So it's guys like you who are leading that direction and paving that way for us, man. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, you got it, man.
All right, there he goes. Chef, thank you very much for your time this evening. We'll talk to you on down the road, all right?
All right, sounds good.
All right, there he goes, guys. The only Chef Ben Randall. What a good dude. Dave, I like that guy a lot, man. He's awesome. He's so easy to talk to.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you gotta check his show out, man. It's called In the Weeds. It's on iTunes. Check it out there. I mean, it's worth a listen, especially if you're hanging out or you're working. He does a great job with it, man. So definitely check him out if you got 2 seconds. Dave, you're gonna check it out, right?
Yeah, I did actually before the show. It was pretty cool. I liked it. So I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna finish the episode that I was listening to before this.
Awesome.
Started up. Yeah.
Well, listen, man, we're excited. We got a lot of big things coming up. This program has blown up. Dave's been riding my ass about some things and that I haven't gotten done, but he doesn't ever look at the things that I have got done. And, Dave, that hurts my feelings.
Well, how do I say this? Like, I'm just trying to motivate you, so fuck your feelings. But I love you, so.
So fuck your feelings. I don't think you can say that.
Why not?
Oh my god, dude, you're hysterical. Because it hurts my feelings, that's all. Like, you can't hurt people's feelings in 2018.
This is the thing. I, like, where I work now, there's HR, and I'm adjusting to that. So in the real world, I'm going to say whatever I want. That's just all I can do now. I can't say it at work anymore.
I think I'm going to have Seth Ben come start. He's going to come co-host with me from now on. You're done. Dave's out. Fuck Dave.
See, you're just expressing yourself, and that's all right. There's, you know.
Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. So we were trying to have a Portrait of a Chef episode tonight. It's probably going to be next week. We're having a little trouble connecting with our person that got nominated. I will post on Instagram this week the nomination link to get someone back up to you could nominate someone who you think deserves to be on the program and deserves to have a little attention brought to them. I'd love to talk to chefs from all across the country, so there is no right answer, no wrong answer, just great chefs who maybe have inspired you or chefs who have helped you along the way that we can get on here, who we can put an interview on and kind of hear their story and give them a little bit of a spotlight. So it's a great series. Our first one we did with Chef Lisa Hannaford, I thought was a great episode. Dave, you checked that one out, right?
Yeah, man, I was on it.
She was great.
Yeah, it was awesome. I like her story. She's pretty cool, for sure.
I mean, we've gotten tons and tons of people sending in. I think I probably got 80 to 100 different recommendations of chefs to be on the program. So take them one at a time. You know, I think it's going to be a series that kind of happens over a few months. So looking forward to doing it, man. It's a great opportunity for me to meet some really cool chefs across the country. And I mean, Dave, what's better than that? That's what this show is about.
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty cool, for sure. It's like like almost like E! True Hollywood Story, or like VH1 Behind the Music, but for like cooks.
That is what's up. Can we call that shit that? Maybe we should call VH1. Is VH1 still around?
I don't know. Why would you call it Behind the Music?
Maybe behind the pan? Behind the meat? Behind the stove?
Behind the apron?
Behind the apron. That sounds a little bit scandalous.
Yeah, let's go with that.
All right, let's do it. Behind the apron. Let's do that. Behind the apron. Behind the toque? No, not everybody wears toque anymore.
Nah.
Behind the apron. There you go. I was wearing my welding apron today with no pants, by the way.
That's what's up.
There you go. That's what's up. Ladies and gentlemen, big shout out.
Were you welding?
Of course, I always was. Big shout out to our guest, Chef Ben Randall. Check his podcast out, In the Weeds. Man, does a great job. Big shout out to Dave. And remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything in Portland revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. I'll see you next week. Dave, thank you.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.